It's our Sunday morning house call on CJAD 800. Here's Dr. Christopher Labos and Ken Connors.
Cardiologist, degree in epidemiology, and a frequent contributor. He's been, how far back are we going back with this this Sunday segment, Chris? Was, I guess, the first or second wave of the pandemic?
It must have been, yeah. It was right sort of at the beginning of when the whole thing started.
Yeah, and we have a few COVID-related and vaccine-related questions here on the text line. So I thought we'd answer some of our questions from listeners this morning, if you're up to it.
Absolutely.
Got one from earlier this morning, one of the first ones in. And let me just, it's from Frank in Pointe Claire. He says, a question for Dr. Labos. Do we know what causes my leg cramps, mostly in the morning? He's dealing with leg cramps every morning, apparently.
So there's a lot of different things that can cause leg cramps. One of the easiest things to fix and the thing that we first think of is an electrolyte imbalance. So if you're low on potassium or magnesium or something like that, correcting that with, you know, just more potassium, more magnesium either in your diet or as a supplement can sometimes help that. And as a first line, what a lot of doctors do is they'll just tell somebody, well, go take magnesium supplements, see if that makes it go away. I'm a little bit more obsessive compulsive about these types of things. I think you should check first to see if you actually are deficient in magnesium before you just, you know, treat it on spec. But that's usually the first thing that people think of.
All right. Very good. Frank, there you go. Good morning, Dr. Labos, it says here, Chris. I'm going on a trip. Wanted to get a COVID booster, which would be my second bivalent and my fifth in total. The nurse at the center tried to deter me from getting anything, as she says, I had enough. I'm confused, as I heard another doctor say, to keep it up as immunity wanes. Can you straighten this out for me, please? And she ends it, Miriam ends the note by saying, I did not end up getting it.
Yeah, so the total number of doses you've gotten is not as relevant as when your last vaccine was or when your last COVID infection was. So if it's been more than 6 months since your last booster shot and more than 6 months since your last infection, you can get a booster shot now because immunity does, in fact, start to wane after 6 months. Now, a lot of that depends on your individual risk and where you're going. If you're going to be traveling, I had this exact conversation with somebody recently, and I said, well, you know, it depends where you're going. If you're going to be sitting on a beach and not interacting with other people, that's maybe a low-risk activity. And they said, well, no, we're going on a cruise ship. And I was like, oh, yeah, cruise ships are particularly vulnerable to the spread of disease. So if you're an older individual and you have risk factors and you're going to be traveling and maybe exposing yourself and it's been more than 6 months, yeah, you are a certain degree of risk. That's what these vaccines are there for. For most of the population, if you're not going to be doing anything particularly high risk and you wanted to wait till the fall, it's very likely that there's going to be an update to the vaccines in the fall, and we're going to have a specific vaccine against the circulating strains, probably the XBB strain, but that remains to be seen.
It's our Sunday morning house call with Dr. Christopher Labos, answering your questions on our text line at 514-800. Here's one. Good morning, Dr. Labos. I just read an article in a medical journal about using green LED light to reduce migraine and neuropathic pain. Do you have any thoughts on this?
Look, there's a lot of articles published in a lot of journals. Not all of them end up getting sustained in the subsequent years by confirmatory research. I have actually never heard of that before. There's a lot of treatment for migraines out there. I've never seen specific light therapy for that. The most effective things for migraines, if they're infrequent, is just regular headache medication. And then people who have recurrent migraines, there are specific types of medications called triptans and other forms of medications that actually can be quite successful, but you have to try them. And sometimes you have to go through a series of different treatments to see what's most successful for you. But I've never heard let me just put it this way. There's no consistent body of evidence for light therapy, as far as I'm aware.
Good morning, Ken. I love your show. Since you're asking for questions for Dr. Labos, would you please ask him what one can do to heal tendinitis? It's very painful. Thank you.
Yeah, I mean, it's often just ice and rest. I mean, depending on what caused it, if it was due to an acute injury, so you lifted something heavy or you fell or you, put a little bit of strain on something, it really is just ice and rest. The thing that gets most people is they don't rest the injury for long enough. And, you know, in the short term, just over-the-counter painkillers will certainly help. Anti-inflammatories are very, very good at relieving pain. The thing you have to be careful about with anti-inflammatories like Advil, ibuprofen, stuff like that, is that they are not great if you have pre-existing heart disease because they can increase your blood pressure and they're not great for your heart. They can also increase your risk of stomach ulcers. So if you're taking them for a short course, you might be okay, but it's probably not something you want to be taking regularly because it is going to come with a series of downstream consequences.
All right. Another one here. Chris says, good morning. My life has been severely impacted by top midfoot arthritis, making walking extremely painful. Is there anything that can be done besides meds? I was told cortisone injections can't be done more than 3 times a year. Walking was my main joy in life, and so she's looking for some help here.
Yeah, arthritis is really hard to treat, especially if it's osteoarthritis, which we usually refer to as sort of like wear and tear, which is different than inflammatory arthritis. So if you have an inflammatory arthritis, that's usually due to an autoimmune condition, an inflammatory condition, that you can actually treat by suppressing the inflammation. But osteoarthritis is not quite the same. There's no real treatment for osteoarthritis besides pain medication to make the pain go away so you can do your daily activities. Or steroid injections can be useful, but you're right, there is a limit to how many of those you can do because you have to space them out by certain intervals. If the pain medication that you're getting is not enough, which unfortunately often happens, then you have to try to find activities that don't put stress on the joint. So people who have arthritis in their feet, ankles, knees often find that if they were to go bicycle riding or swimming where you're not putting weight on the joints, that sometimes helps. So sometimes it's about switching activities to something that is less painful if you can't adjust the pain medication to, you know, feel well to be able to be active, which is challenging because it's really hard to treat chronic pain.
You know, it's not in the news every day, but Chris, it's amazing how COVID is still out there. Every second day, Lauren and I hear about someone, one of our friends, someone in our circle who has COVID.
Yeah, listen, it is not going away. I mean, people don't want to talk about it anymore. It's quite surprising, but it is going to be an issue. I was on Friday when I was doing CTV with Maya. You know, the estimates in China are that there are going to be 60-something million infections per week in China as the virus sweeps through the population. Now, it's a very large population, right? So proportionally, that number is a little bit less frightening than it seems at first blush, but it is still circulating, and we don't quite know what the impacts of recurrent infections are going to be. Most people are going to be okay, so you don't want to be fear-mongering, obviously, but it is there. And so basic protective measures, I think, make a difference. So depending on when your last vaccine was, getting your booster shot probably in the fall is going to be essential. And frankly, if you're going to be in situations where you're on a plane, you're on a train, you're in a small enclosed space with a bunch of other people for an extended period of time, I would still wear a mask. I was on a plane recently. I wore a mask the whole time, and I think that was the correct decision. So somebody was telling me in Japan, you know, people wear masks regularly. They were doing that before COVID. That was a very normal thing. And so it's going to be about us adjusting our perception of what quote-unquote normal is and realizing that in a reality where there are circulating respiratory viruses, a very simple thing you can buy at the dollar store is probably going to go a long way in terms of protecting you and keeping you from getting sick. Because even if you live through an infection, being sick for 5 days, that's disrupting to your life. And that's not a good thing, because it means you're going to have to travel plans and not do the things you were planning to do.
Dr. Christopher Labos. Chris, thanks for a great segment and enjoy your Sunday.
You too, sir.
All right. Dr. Labos, Sunday morning house call every Sunday morning at 10 minutes after 8. It's 8:17. 17 degrees is the current temperature, and we'll look at 30 as our daytime high. We're going to have a chat with the current Jeopardy champion. She's a Montrealer. She won on Friday. She's back on the show Monday, and we're going to have a chat with DeAndra Delessio when we come back.